Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com. Live. Had a little fun here. We've had trouble with Skype tonight, and I don't know, Kathy, I see Kathy out there. Kathy's just in echoes. Kathy, I don't know if you've been having these kinds of troubles on your shows, but what a night tonight. Two times dropped on my mixer connect, and then the host dial-in died, which is the first time in a while I've had this much trouble. So anyway, we are going to press on. You're listening to Soul Stream on Sunday. Here, I'll give a little more volume on the mic here. On Sunday night, July 3rd, 2011. It's, man, what a year. It's gone quick. Very hot today here in the Sierra Nevadas. I got up this morning. I actually slept in. And when I got up, it was about 9 o'clock. I usually am up at 7:30, and I just crashed. And hit the door, had breakfast, ran out the door, went to Home Depot, got the parts for the observatory. And those of you on Facebook who are friending me can go out to my album out there and take a look. And, Kathy says, many calls being dropped, lost sound. Yeah, it was weird. It just dropped both calls. So if I drop off, I've got the backup call, and I'll just keep going. We'll keep switching until we get it going, and I may be playing some music. But, we got the first digging on the pier for the telescope is underway. We got 1 foot down. Yeah. What else? We also got the first two yellow squash have come up, and I took pictures there and put them in the same album. So check it out. Yesterday there were no yellow squash. I thought for sure the seeds had been bad and nothing was going to come up. And I get out there today getting ready to water. I come and look and go, what the hell? And two of them are popped up going, hey, Dad, I'm here. Yo, I love you. You're my man. So I was going, yo, I like you guys. We're going to have squash off of you. That's good. So we've got about 7 squash plants. They're going to be, as we say here in California, they're going to be ass deep in squash here in the next 5 weeks. So I've got zucchini and then all the yellow. And so we'll be posting pictures of that. And maybe I'll have a contest where we have a lucky winner get a crate full of squash from me. We'll have some Soul Stream squash put out there. We'll see if we can pull something like that off. Elizabeth Rose, the famous Elizabeth Rose from the 125 billion degree Phoenix area, is here with us. Hi, Elizabeth. Big hug to you. And Giraffe Angel, another regular. She is a true angel, and she towers among the rest. You know, above the rest. Yes, she can see farther than all of them. The giraffe thing, see. And Gina from Holistic Life Designs. It's really holistic, Mom. You know, it's like, oh, you know. Kay Gallagher is here. I've seen you around before. And you're all in uppercase. Did you know that? And Winter 71 is here, too. Tonight, I don't know about all of you guys. Yeah, 117, says Elizabeth Rose, 117 degrees in Phoenix. I've been there when it was 112, when I was there in 1993 for training for my company. I went to HP Hewlett-Packard Unix training class. And then I was able to take a day off from the class and head up to Sedona. It was my first time there. And since then, I've been back two other times. And I'm hoping to get it back down that way this year. I think I might be able to pull it off. But anyway, that's the story here. I don't know about any callers here looking to see. We've got a Veronica Marino Diaz. Veronica Marino Diaz, I feel. And then myself and my other self. I always call in twice because I have the backup line. So we are sitting here going to do a show with some mostly EVP. I will do some readings if people do want to do mediumship. I actually had a friend of mine from New Orleans wanted me to call her, and I gave her a yell and was able to do a little work with her privately. And that was an interesting read. I haven't done too many private readings in the past, but I went ahead and did this, and I rather enjoyed it. I like it. It went quite a while, and I can see how it is to do. There's a real difference between a private reading. Oh, I see that. So sorry. Okay. Anyway, we'll take that under advisement. I got a little. I apologize. I didn't know. I'll take that as a lesson to learn there. I'll just say initials. That'll work. Oh, good. I've been brought to task. All right. So anyway, people are. What's this going on here? Fires? Is there Elizabeth? There's fires going on that way. I heard something about some of that, but I haven't. That's been mostly at to the east side of Arizona, right? Or is it getting closer to your area? So we'll wait and see what she has to say there. But anyway, tonight we're going to do. Basically anything that comes up in front of us. I was expecting to see one of my friends who, the reason I did the EVP show tonight, was going to be have him on to do some EVP on air. So, it's to the north and south is what Elizabeth is saying. Basically, you're surrounded by fire is what you're telling me, except to the west. You do have an escape route. But, good Lord. Is there a lot of smoke there, Elizabeth? I mean, is it getting hard to breathe out there? I mean, because, for any of you who have driven down through Arizona and basically anywhere through the west, there's a lot of very difficult vegetation there. And when it catches fire, it is the worst. I mean, it literally is like explosions of fire. They tend to have rich oil in the plants, and it's like gasoline when it goes off. And when the wind kicks up, you're running for your life. Yeah, she says it's in the air, and they're getting it everywhere, and it's affecting breathing. So I'm sure they've got respiratory alerts out there for everybody. So all of you, the bad part is the fire that's near the nuclear. Yeah, I saw that over at, Sandia Nuclear Facility. Yeah, they do a lot of work there. That's a big deal. Everybody just stay indoors and watch themselves there. Let's see. We got Evelyn Hart has just dropped in. Who else? Oh, Quinny's dropping by. Hi, Quinny. And we have, who else? Mystic is there. I see you. Oh, she popped out. Well, go ahead and listen in, Mystic, all you want. So anyway, we will be doing some readings tonight. I'm going to go ahead and bring, let me look back, Winter in. Here we go. Winter. I'm going to bring her on, and I don't know where she's at. Hello, Winter.
Hello there. Good evening.
Where are you? Good evening. I apologize. I did not mean to do that.
You know, it's okay.
It's a mindless thing to be an announcer. You know, you just go, oh, what's in front of me? So I'll remember that as a lesson. You taught me a valuable lesson. So thank you.
Well, I am glad to be of service.
Somewhere I saw that on a movie the other day. I'm glad to be of service. Okay, thank you. So, what can I do for you, my friend?
No, I mean, you were offering to do some readings. I love to tap into your magnificent magic and see what you foresee for me.
Oh, my God, you give me too much credit. I've been out digging ditches today.
have fun and you have a squash, you have it all going. I mean, that sounds like magic and wonderful to me.
It's called having a vision and then deciding to follow it and actually putting your money where your mouth is and making it happen. It's funny because my mom, we have a family ranch here, and I stayed to take care of my dad, who's had a stroke here some years back, I'm kind of the chief bottle washer, cook, and engineer for all the stuff that goes on around here. And this year he got bad enough that she couldn't put the garden in, and so. We've got tomato plants growing up next to the house.
Wow.
She can get out and do stuff like that, but she couldn't get the squash in. And I was watching, and I was thinking, when's she putting the squash up? Because I knew she'd do something with some vegetables close to the house. I finally went and asked her, and she says, well, no, I didn't have time to do it. So I went, a summer without squash here is like sacrilegious. So I just went, I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
So I went, I'll tell you what, a little secret. I did this once before when I was had a place up in Placerville. I'm a little further south now up there. I found out you could grow squash right next to your lawn, and it seems like squash and your lawn plants, they love each other. And I had the best squash plants ever. I actually planted them like right in the lawn. I just cut out like next to the garage area I had. I cut about a 2 foot wide circle. Put in the manure and all that stuff to enrich the soil, but it took off like crazy. I mean, I had a 6 foot tall squash plant,
wow.
My largest one, 6 feet friggin' tall. I mean, I was so deep in them, I didn't know what to do with them all. So I'm doing the same thing. I mean, I planted it right, I cut out a bunch of the lawn to next to my place, and just I had a stump that I'm trying to get rid of too there, so it'll cover up the stump for this year. But it's gonna. I have a feeling that I'm gonna be having these giant squash plants. Well, I'll be posting pictures. But what were you looking for tonight? What kind of reading?
What type of readings are you doing? I mean, you do intuitive.
Mainly, I'm a medium. I talk to dead people. They seem to come through rather well for me lately. But I also do just general questions. If you have a general question, sometimes I'll pick up on stuff and do psychic stuff too. I do both.
Well, then tell what you foresee for my love life. But before you go into that, I am curious to hear something because. Do you see this, and this is more tapping into your gift, do you see this when you're awake? Do you have this during dreams? I mean, how does it manifest to you? Does it just interrupt your daily life?
Well, it's so I come from a family line of mediums, and it's gone back. We've traced it back 2 generations, and we know it was before that too. But we for sure we know that my great aunt, was a practicing professional medium in Kansas. And then there was another sister, another aunt, was also what we believe did it, but not professionally, but she was closely allied with my Aunt Mary, who did, was the professional medium. So the two of them in that part of the world were doing that quite a bit. And all the girls and a bunch of the men, including myself, through the generations have picked up on various manifestations of this gift. And in my case, I have the exact same strengths as my mother, which is I'm clairaudient, which means I can hear them. And I'm also clairvoyant. And I tend to see things in symbols, pictures. I have a lot better control of it because I've had training. And so I go through.
Have control. It doesn't interrupt your daily life.
There are things that happen that surprise me, but for the most part, if I'm at work I see something, which I've had happen, I don't let it get to me. I just look at it and go, okay, I'll file that away. That was weird. But more often than not, I have very specific rules for the practice and what I do, and it's just a normal thing for us. I mean, around the house, having a medium in the house, there's other ones here. So we just kind of look at each other. Yeah, okay. So what'd you see today? So it's no big deal.
I'm just curious because how does it go when you're taking a bath or when you're going to the bathroom or you're making love to your, I'm just wondering how does that work for somebody like you?
I have certain protections on the property that, especially in my home, there's rules for the spirits, basically, because for a while there, it's funny, I just did my reading today with my friend, and she was asking similar questions. It's amazing how these things happen. what ends up happening is I have had spirits follow me into the bathroom, and I finally look up and go, I'm doing my business. Would you please go out? And then they're all embarrassed, and because to them it's no big deal. Oh, you're just doing by what? No, get out of here, And then they finally kind of learn the limits. Debbie Caruso is one of the spirits on the other side. She did EVP research in life, and she followed me right in one day. And I'm just going, Debbie, get the hell out of here. Jesus. then she's like all of, you know, oh yeah. But, you know, as far as the daily life, the daily things that they do, I set pretty much times for them to come in. For example, I mean, I've opened the door in the studio when I'm on the show. I have local spirits who come in. And, I, yesterday on the show, we were having knocking on the walls. And that's their kind of their way to let me know, oh, yeah, we're around, we're watching. It's cool. And it's usually Anna, because she's we have three bodies buried on the property here. Because we're on an old gold mine and an old gold rush town. So
sure, sure.
Those spirits tend to come around and during the show, and they've gotten used to me doing my thing. And so I've had them come in and touch me. I get cold spots, the works. So it's normal. It's an Abby normal kind of thing, you know.
But it sounds like a healthy relationship, and assuming, given it from that perspective, I mean, after all, spirits are just nothing but you know, people, I guess. So you do have, quote-unquote, normal people that come and chit-chat with you, I guess, and tell you what they feel, what to say. But you have, on the other hand, someone that are not exactly very friendly, I'm assuming, correct?
We've had that problem, and I've done paranormal research. I've seen people attacked. I myself have been attacked and seen things happen and had stuff follow me home. I knew what to do to deal with it. I had, you know, and I for the parts I didn't know, I knew who to call. And, we've had other individuals who didn't know limits, who wanted help but didn't know quite how to control themselves, and caused all kinds of mayhem until they got ordered out and thrown out on their ear. And that's kind of when I learned to set limits, because you can be a victim or you can be in control. And, once this one thing happened to me a couple of years back, I got up and went, USOBs out, all of you out. And I saged the place and did a whole bunch of work and got rid of them. But then I opened the door for very selected times. And so they do come in, they do spend time with us, when you open the door to that. And if you set the rules, just like you would have a guest in your home, right? You know,
right.
Thing. Yeah, so, I mean, if you let all of them in, you're going to have biker types come in as well as, royalty. So, I mean, and you tend to probably prefer the royalty to the biker type, unless that's your thing. But, I'm using analogies here, but it's the class of people and the class of spirit you allow in and who you work with. And for the most part, 99.9% of the time, we get the good ones.
I do want to apologize because I know I'm taking a lot of your time, but I'm really fascinated by the subject. And obviously it's not, like I said, a very common subject that people will talk about it. Now, how do you handle the logical aspect, the scientific aspect, I mean, the research aspect? I mean, obviously it's not something that you share openly with anybody, correct?
Well, I'll tell you what, correct to a point, because I work in the propulsion industry. I'm a computer programmer, and I do computer science, so I'm a scientist. So on the one hand, and I grew up in the sciences. I mean, I grew up with people from the rocket business, and into heavy duty science and medical science. In my family, my grandfather was a pretty well known neurosurgeon, and did research neuropsychiatry. So, I'm very aware of the scientific basis for and against this, as well as, from the other side, the touchy-feely side of my family, who are all much more organic and much more connected to this. So I've led a very confused life in some ways, but it's, to me, I've ruled out through my own analysis and my own experience the stuff that is obviously, fake. And then my own personal experiences of things I've seen and felt, it is real. It is very real. And I've seen too much,
doubt it.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I've had 25 years of recording experience working with different types of recording medium. And for me to go out and get EVPs 250 feet underground in a cave and still get voices on tape, which I was specifically trying not to get EVP, and I went into that cave and I still got EVP. That tells me that there's a phenomenon going on here that we don't understand totally, but which fits more with the model, if you use Occam's razor, which is basically the premise that if the simplest explanation is often the most correct. And in this case, I'm getting spirit voices. it's obvious we're getting spirits. But, you know, this is where some people disagree with me. My observation from a scientific perspective is that spirits are a life form. They're electromagnetic beings that are corporeal in their own right. They have function. You know, they have functions, life functions of their own. They need energy. They expel energy. They need all the criteria for life. And it's just basically when someone dies, that part of the life force leaving their body is the true organism. You know, what we wear is this suit that we're wearing, this organic suit, is for our experiences here on Earth, that we, for the lessons we come in to learn. But literally, we are at our most elemental, the soul is a living being.
Say that based on your experience and what you have been able to see and feel, that life is recyclable for sure?
Absolutely. The universe seems to be constructed around the basis of reusability in almost every aspect. For example, if you look at grass growing in a field, and the grass goes through a constant life-death cycle throughout the year, and you watch its whole process come and go, and then even the death part where the structure of the grass is released, but it's, as nutrients, but the seed is still there, and then also the utilization of other forces like fire, which come through and burn off all the stuff that's not needed and convert that to gas, which is then recycled into the atmosphere, which follows another recycling pattern. It's all a big feedback loop. So really, when you look at the soul itself going through these processes, this all points to, I hate to use the religious term here, but intelligent design. There is an intellect behind the universe and a great spirit behind the universe that, for lack of a better word, is, I would use love, and a compassion and an awesome force that is, exploring itself. And we are little bits of that. And I really believe that that's what we're here for, to experience, and live the best possible life we can, and to be able to when we get to the end of our life, know that we've done good for others, and know that we've done the best possible thing we could. And when we get to the other side and go through our life reviews, and then decide what we are going to do with that from that point forward, that represents that cycle, and that means that things are just amazing up there. You know, when we get to the other side, it's just awesome.
But think about the validation that you have. I mean, that information in itself is somehow, it could be just spread out in a more tangible way. I mean, it really revolutionized a lot of the theories. I mean, many of the religions, especially in the Eastern world, I mean, they do consider life to be recyclable, but obviously they're just a belief. It's not a manifestation. It's not a tangible proof, although there are some factors that really come and question that, but there hasn't been that much research to validate it. Would you be willing to go through something that will perhaps just really put no questions asked, this is how it is?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to get the gist of where you're going. I mean, you talked about Eastern, views, which are much more conducive, even in the scientific view. The Eastern belief system is much more tied to the whole notion of the timelessness of life and the recyclability of life. And they tend to have a much less of a value on immediate human life than the West does. You know, we're much more individualistic, and they're much more in another way of thinking. And I've never really totally understood where they're at, but I do understand some of where they're coming from. And I think that's, in some areas, they're more correct than us. In other areas, here in the West, we are more correct with our value of individual life and liberty and the things that we, see as important. But in, the commonalities in both is, and even in Christianity, before there, I think it was 565 AD, there was a council that basically struck reincarnation from the Bible. And when that happened, that was a tragedy for Western science and Western, metaphysical belief. Because before then, it was truly accepted that, and known by the West, that this truly was the way things are. And now we've got these artificial blinders on in the West. It's now just starting to come off. I'll just say that much.
Right.
Because
of
the internet, because we have such free information flow going on now, and human beings as a whole are so interconnected now, I really think that we're starting to lose all those blinders, and I think that we will eventually get to a point where we'll honor the different belief systems, you know, for what we have in common, and honor the differences also, and look past that, and then just go in with our individual truths. But really, when it gets down to it, we're all on the same planet. We're all wearing the same sorts of bodies. We have most of the same DNA. And most of the experiences we have are fairly similar. And the bottom line is we're spirits inhabiting a body. And, you know, there are chakras.
Having a human experience, yes.
Yeah, and but when we die, you know, the spirit goes back up to or goes not up. You know, there's not even an up or down in this constant, but it's a another dimensional realm that the soul enters into. That then we go through this whole point of why were we in this dense body in the first place?
Well, it must have been for to experience, right? I mean, this is a dimension in itself. I mean. So I'm assuming it's to experience. I mean, and how beautiful it is to be able to taste. I mean, you close your eyes and you bite an apple, and that sensation, you cannot have it if you're only spiritual. You can have it because you have a tongue, you have feet, you can sense, you can feel the cold. I mean, sometimes even pain can be something that you're experiencing, and be blessed for that.
I agree. I mean, the whole point of three dimensions is to an accelerated learning program, which, you know, a lot of people say it in various ways, but to me it's throttling down the amount of infinitude there is from, you know, what it is on from the God level, and then further down the, you know, through the hierarchies of angels and further on down until you get to the human form and other life forms of a similar nature, by the way, which exist throughout the galaxy and through all the galaxies throughout this universe. You know, that's the whole point of this, is to gain these experiences because of the infinite nature of what the creation is. And by the way, I mentioned this universe, and because I had wanted to bring this up earlier, there is considerable scientific evidence, which a very recent study showed, that the galaxies in our universe are all moving in the same general direction. And what they think is this is the first observational proof that there is another universe influencing ours gravitationally, meaning that it's not only just another one, but it's the theory says this is likely an infinite number of universes. So you really have to start looking at to this whole thing from a much more expansive view and say, wow, what are we dealing with here? You know, if you're thinking, you know, here it is, we think this universe is so big. And then you start to look and you get the idea that there's so many more. You have to realize that God as a concept expands radically. And when you see it from that view, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, you start to feel really small. But you also
feel
fortunate
because it gives
for
you
knowing
perspective.
This, you know. Oh,
correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it just means to me that it's just so much more amazing.
So if you take it from a – okay, now – going back to the original question when it was about life being recyclable. So it is in your belief that life remains as it is. So as many people there are now, there has always been, or has there been an increase of it, considering the fact that they're just recycling itself? And if that's the case, then why so many spirits and why, you know, other embodies? I mean, does it take a turn? I mean, I'm assuming.
Well, what I, you know, again, I'm we're getting into conjecture, but I'll give you my this is
stuff
I've thought
about.
Of course.
No, I understand.
Like,
I don't expect you to have all the answers.
But,
I definitely don't have it. I'm just curious. And
yeah, I you know, when you deal with infinite numbers and infinitude itself, it implies that there's no end to this. And when you start to, you know, the whole point of talking about the number of universes being potentially infinite, which I believe that this is the truth. And there's infinite energy exchange going on. This is an engine. This is a sort of engine that creates all these experiences and allows God to know him, her, itself through these experiences in not only one universe but multiple others, which may have different rules. In another universe, 1 + 1 might equal 10, you know, and the rules there may be completely different than ours, but this is another way for God to know him, her, itself. And this is the whole point, I think, of the whole experience is existence itself seems to be a requirement for its own existence. I know that sounds weird, but it's like existence is because it must be. And if that's the case and all these other potentials start to take place, you start to realize, you know, energy is not just some limited quality, it's infinite. And this is what bothers me so much in our earthly view, here in this little planet off in some little corner of, you know, the Milky Way. You know, when our own leadership is running around telling us that, you know, oh, things are so limited, so terrible, oh my God. It's like we're living in a sea of energy. You know, get over yourselves. You know, quit trying to make everybody feel like they're guilty for being here. God put us here. Revel in the fact you're here. Be proud of the fact you're here, you know, and live the best life you can. And, you know, go outside and look at the sky in wonderment. I'm building this observatory because I have wonderment about the universe. And I look at it in wonderment. I believe in that I'm looking into the very face of God when I look out there. And that's romantic in a lot of senses, but it's also a straight truth. And I challenge every one of you tonight to go out and look at some stars tonight and go look at God. So.
And how do you balance that human factor when you actually are facing real, I mean, you're talking about somebody who may be hurting for whatever situation they might be facing, whether it is, in your perspective, valid or invalid, regardless, it's real for that person and that individual in that precise moment. How do you not lose the balance of losing yourself into the philosophical aspect of this God vast universe and then connecting to the person who perhaps lost the entire family due to fire or to a hurricane or an earthquake or something? How do you connect to that and try to relieve that pain and that compassion so you don't lose that sense of that three-dimensional reality that you're facing at that moment, because it is real for them? And it, you know, as philosophical and beautiful as it might be, the whole experience, it really gets to the point where you don't want to lose that touch with your human fellows. I mean, would that be right to say?
Well, the whole point of this show and what I do and the whole point of the experience, you know, and Kathy's just an echoes and all these different wonderful people on Blog Talk and the other radio networks and what we do is, you know, we're doing this for people. I mean, I could be lost off doing science and never be heard from again and be totally happy exploring all these wonderful things. But instead, I've chosen to take a gift that I've been given, you know, and I think this exists for everybody, but for some reason my little family has this little thing, and I just have this predisposition to seeing and hearing these things. And then, you know, I've taken the time and done years of work to get to this point, and I've been given, you know, the ability to do radio. I've got a radio voice. Everybody says I should be doing announcing and that kind of thing. But I've been given all these gifts for a reason to go out and do this work. And so that's my mission. That's what I'm supposed to do. Now, when I do have people come in, I will guarantee you this. There are people who call into this show and who they call in with problems that I look at. And if it was me, I would look and go, what in the hell are they thinking? You know, and you'll start to get that kind of annoyance about it. And then you'll look and go, wait a minute. No. I have to put myself in their shoes. Where are they coming
exactly,
from?
Exactly.
And you wear when you wear someone else's moccasins, then you start to see, you know, things you didn't consider. So, you know, one of the core values in my family that is talked about more than any other value we have is wearing the other guy's moccasins. And being able to be fair, look at it from a point of fairness, and give them the chance. We tend to give people three chances. After the third chance, if you know, we've done everything we can to make something work out, and there's some sort of thing going on, we tend to kind of, you know, well, okay, we'll put that down and walk away. You know, when you're ready to, you know, come off your whatever you're doing, fine. Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean you know, anyone in my family is perfect. But we've learned that you cannot beat people into submission on their views or to change their minds. You can only give that time and to let their life experience teach them what to do. The what we try to do in these readings, and I think this is the same for other mediums and other psychics out there. We tend to, you know, the world comes to us with these questions. We do our best from our own life experience, and we reach way down inside ourselves and pull this information out. And sometimes, quite often, we tend to have a direct connection because we've been doing work to open our spirits up and open our minds and open our energetic channels up to bring the right answers through for that person. And when we do that, we step outside ourselves. And when you step outside yourself and you allow that process to work, then you know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. They may not like what you say. They may disagree. They may take what you said to heart and go change their life. You know, and that's what I sincerely hope that each of them do when they come to me, you know, in this show. When I give the gift of what I have to say, you know, because Spirit is pushing me that direction and they're using my mouth, I hope that they do that, you know, and personally, I hope when I get to the other side, there's one hell of a party for me, because I really think I kicked ass and did a great job, and I'm going to continue doing that, you know. To me, it's just rewarding as hell.
Wow. I definitely believe that you have a lot that you can share with all of us. I mean, definitely. I mean, but, you know, like I said, I struggle with the human factor, and I guess finding a purpose for each one of those people who are gifted like you, I think maybe will be something like perhaps passing hope, maybe healing wounds. I mean, there has to be a major purpose. And even for the spiritual aspect, I mean, I'm assuming even if you're talking about a ghost, quote-unquote, or a spirit, I mean, it has to have a purpose, correct?
Well, all things in the universe have purpose. You know, God has created something that, just in my estimation, that all of these things were created and set forth, you know, everything from soup to nuts to, you know, spirits to ghosts that don't quite cross over and get confused, and people who lead lives of desperation to those who, you know, become assassins, to those who become inspirational leaders, to those who do mediumship and so on, you know, and those who teach and are gifted teachers, and those who maybe are not so good teachers. You know, the wide range of experience of each human being is here because that's what's needed. You know, we didn't come here to all be the same. And this is another thing that I have a very distinct disapproval of in our world leadership, you know, in the different countries out there and the country's leaders. They seem to think we should all be the same. The very point of existence is difference. It's the basis of how we interact and how we're able to, you know, some people choose to become successful and work hard and build businesses and do these things, and they sacrifice and they do all this. Oh, by the way, they forgot to pay attention to the fact that they had a family and they get divorces and all that. But, you know, yeah, but the greater good is that they're creating an economy for people to work and then helping other families. Then there's the one who is a little bit lazier and didn't want to go, you know, do so much work and is getting by in life with no plan and just floats along. And then suddenly they find themselves unemployed because they didn't really push themselves. You know, but then God looks at them and says, you know, hands them another lesson and hopefully they learn from that. You know, I mean, I could go on, but I'm just pointing out that that's the beauty of this whole thing. That's why this is an engine. It's a feedback cause and effect loop that works in an infinite variety of ways, which I just stand back and I find miraculous, you know,
so
for lack of a better word.
Some people then do have permission to stay longer to whatever purposes they want to accomplish, or some of them, they just have to be called upon to go ahead and follow the line of reincarnation if they have to come back and do for another round, or some others, they just have to be on hold. I mean,
I think
have
that,
you ever asked
way,
any of them?
Well, I've read quite a bit, and I've been getting a few, you know, instances of just my internal, you know, internal experience, just watching what happens. Where it's very clear that there is a growth process to the point where, as a human being going through this whole process, you've learned enough and you transition past the need to reincarnate. One of those guys was Jesus, another was Buddha. You know, I mean, you go on to these people who have achieved an awesome spiritual development who no longer need to get there. I think that they are probably fewer than people would think. You know, you hear people talk about being old souls, and you hear a lot of that. I think that really when you get to the other side, you find out that the fact that you said that means you don't know. You've got a lot more to go through. You know, those individuals, you know, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of evidence of Jesus, you know, during the 33, you know, years that he was not talked about in the Bible, was off across the entire Eurasian continent, learning from all the best mystics out there and learning so much. He was kind of the first guy to go around and really sample all the big stuff and go to all the universities of spirit, if you will, and really, you know, take himself to the next dimension. And it was by design, you know, it was by design that that would happen, and it inspired a whole religion based on that. Now, there's many who will disagree with Christianity, and sure, it, you know, and all religions have their warts and waddles. Not a one gets by without that because they're imperfect. But at their very core are the same spiritual beliefs. And if you doubt me, go pull. There's books on this. Take a look at, you know, all of the different spiritual traditions, and there's books that do comparative studies of these, and you start to see that they're all based on the same core spiritual principles. And, you know, when you get that, you really understand, you know, these people, that inspired this, you know, and became the kind of the founding example for their religion, they're the few. You know, the rest of us are working to that. We'll get there. You know, I mean, at some point in some future, incarnation of myself, you know, I could be a genius. And I'll get there, and so will you.
Wait. I mean, you're just talking about having a parallel on multiple similar times episode right here. Is that what you just said?
Well, what I'm saying is that each of us is a unique soul in a growth process, that there seems to be a hierarchical set of steps.
Okay.
And that hierarchical set of steps seems to be such that it puts you into a mode of becoming more and more correct in your way of living, until you live an ideal, very correct life.
Experience.
As much as you could in this third
right.
dimension.
And
I believe that gets you there. You know, and the fact that the miracles happen with these men and women who do go through this, and this has happened to women too, by the way. You know, these people have these amazing abilities because they're living at their truest potential, and they have an understanding of the true nature of the universe, and they're connecting to that. So
now, taking it from now, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, but wouldn't you be fair to say, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but even the people who do things that are less than ideal, I'm talking hideous acts, don't they also have a purpose, and don't they also part of the big plan? Because it is, after all, a balanced world, and in that balance, it comes from perfection, and that perfection means that the imperfections are nothing but gates to open up for other events to take place as a consequence of it. So technically, even the bad stuff is not necessarily bad, as they are opportunities, either to experience others' compassion or forgiveness or even pain. I mean, we're talking about the human experience in a three-dimensional balance. And if that is the case, and given the fact of that perfection, then nothing is out of balance and everything is within itself. Now, given that, probably sometimes I feel and I wonder, with our human mind, we're judging by saying this is wrong and this is right. Would that be fair to say?
I would say that, you know, if you took a look at the spirit of Hitler and Osama bin Laden, now I'm going to say something. I mean, I've worked in my business, you know, for a long time, and, you know, there's certain products we make that are not necessarily nicest, that take care of problem generators like Osama bin Laden. And, you know, he, from a human perspective, when he bought the farm here in, you know, May, I didn't feel too bad about that. But that's from my human self speaking. From a look at what he is, from a catalyst type thing, just like Mussolini or Hitler or
correct.
Any of the other
correct.
Despots of
correct.
History, all the way, you know, back at through time, through all the other, you know, horrible human beings who've come in and done these terrible, terrible things. When they get to the other side, they have to look at the life that they've led, and they have to, you know, basically judge themselves. But they're judged through the each life they touched. They get to look and live through that life, and they go through that review. And by the time they're done, they've had a hell of a learning experience. But at the same time, I agree with you. I believe that there is a larger purpose, if you will, for their evilness. There's box
correct.
Of evil, you know. Evil, you know.
I'm trying to find the right word too, because it is. Just,
it's,
I understand.
It's the whole purpose of their being here challenges us to be the best that we can be, and the whole notion that good, you know, good and evil are forever diametrically opposed. I think do you know the symbol of the Tao? I mean, you've seen the Tao. It's a T-A-O. It's
yes,
a
right.
It's
yes.
a philosophical belief. You notice that there's two teardrop shapes circling each other, and in the middle of each is
correct.
The opposite color, correct?
I'm just going to bring something else. Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, but that basically says that there's you know, in all of good, there's a little evil. In all
correct.
Of evil, there's a little good. They are mirror images of each other, yet they're both the same, and they revolve around each other in infinitude. This is the true nature of the universe, you know, and
yes.
we can... Nature can be kind and wonderful and gentle. It can be cruel and harsh and all these things. And human beings can be that too, because we are of nature. We are of God, and we're put here to do these things, to learn. And so I may not like what I see. For example, I don't like what's happening in our country right now. I don't like some of the leadership I see. I think that they're really selling us down the road. But At the same time, it's forcing people to look within themselves to adapt and change and live a little more within balance of themselves. They're looking more at their budgets. They're changing the way they do things. And it's changing, you look for the good that comes out of this bad that we see coming out of a bunch of people who are more interested in their own selves than us. So we're on our own. So, you know, we have to make these changes in ourselves, and we're being forced to do that. And really, when it gets down to it, the whole point of that is God's up there saying, hey, it's time these people quit just taking everything for granted. We're going to put a little challenge in front of them, make them work harder for it. And the whole world is going through that because of this whole economic crisis. So these are natural cycles that are introduced by spirit to grow, you know, make us tougher, to bring, you know, to get us off the whole notion that everything is all, you know, wonderful and it's easy. This is not meant to be easy. It's meant to be a challenge, and, you know, that's the whole point of it. You know, you see, you know, I'm a conservative, and I look at things, you know, from my own view, and liberals would look at it from another. You know, but I see it as just a wonderful balance that's always flexing and changing, and each view comes into more correct view than others. And so that's the balance. And defying each other's existence is even a mistake. You know, I watch people, you know, oh, those damn liberals or oh, those damn conservatives. Why don't you get over it and just appreciate each other and just realize that we just see things a little differently.
There was a great book that I recently read by Zimbardo, and it's about a Stanford experiment that was conducted in which this it was conducted. It had to be interrupted. He put a few people, individuals, and I think it was even at the university itself. They just changed part of the office administration and set it up as if they were prison cells. And he hired a few individuals, completely, you know, never had been in jail, just average, normal, decent human beings. Set them up as some dressed as prisoners and some as jailers, basically. After a week, they all reassumed their roles. They believed in themselves. They forgot about it because they weren't, you know, they were supposed to be in for 2 weeks. It wouldn't even last it. People that normally would have better judgment in the everyday world, once they were set in these settings, and because they were taking away their names, they were only given numbers, they start acting hideously against one another. The prisoners adopted more of a role submissive experience, and the ones that were in charge adopted a very nasty, horrible, abusive act, so they start really attacking each other. And that talks about the evil that we all carry inside once given to certain circumstances. So, again, I mean, we all have it inside. So sometimes when we judge somebody as bad, I mean, we don't know because we haven't been in that experience. That's what I was referring to.
I would agree with you.
Yes?
Yeah. I mean, my grandfather dealt with the criminally insane, you know, and he dealt with Charles Manson types, you know. And,
yes.
And that was his specialty, and he testified in many cases here in the state of California. With regard to that, and you know, basically, he said that some of these people, you know, can never be helped. You know, like sex offenders. Yeah, I mean, you would see people now, you know, take what he's had to say and freak out, but it's the utter truth. Some of these individuals can never be helped. They're just beyond. They're beyond help. They can never be that. But to your point, you know, where they are, you know, people assume that role. The universe is the stage, you know, and when you put people in different settings, once they identify with it and they learn the rules of that social setting, they're going to revert to set of behaviors emerge from that. There's something in programming that is a similar type of thing, and this is, you know, my professional part speaking. There's something called emergent behavior in systems design. And I don't remember the exact name of the experiment, but they had this thing called BOIDS, B-O-I-D-S, BOIDS. You know, and it was kind of a euphemistic term for birds. It was basically a set of virtual birds, okay? And what the idea was is that they would have this little artificial universe in the computer, a little window into it. They could look and see the, you know, display and what these birds were doing. And they'd set them on their way. They'd give them a few simple rules, and they'd let them fly. And what would happen is the birds would fly, and maybe they would have an obstacle. And the rule was that they had to move left 3 units or right 3 units away from that obstacle, okay? So they'd let a bird go, and it would go fly, and it would fly randomly around, and then finally run into this obstacle, and it'd fly around it, just like a regular bird would. you know, it's not going to fly into it if it can help it.
Right, right.
Well, one day one of them got the idea, you know, hey, we're only doing this with one bird. Let's put a whole flock in. So they put a bunch of birds in. And they the birds, what ended up happening was what they did not program into the model was the behavior of the flock. And the flock acted just like a set of real birds. It was not programmed in. It was basically this flock decides to fly. And when they fly, they formed kind of the pattern that you would see in a regular bird flight. And not only that, when they got up to the first obstacle, they flew around and then recoalesced into the flock again when they got past. This was not programmed in. None of this behavior was programmed in. This is the basis of emergent behavior. It says that when you're put into particular situations, other behaviors emerge as a basically a reaction to those stimuli. And so, you know, what you're talking about, the way these people acted and all these different things that happened, that's naturally a consequence of it. It's absolutely,
yes.
I would expect it. Yeah. But, I mean, all of life is like that.
So,
I mean, we can model these things, you know.
So how much the behavior that you some people have, including your own experiences, have been affected because you grew up in a family that has been, quote-unquote, mediums?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I started having experiences when I was 5 years old, and I've talked about some of this on the show before, but, you know, I've never had that question posed. And by the way, thank you for interviewing me. This has actually turned out to be... don't be sorry. I'll tell you what. I would really like you to stay on the whole show with me because I'm really enjoying this. This is a nice give and take. To answer the question, I mean, I grew up with this absolute acceptance of the fact that people are different and that this gift was not something to run around and be egocentric about. It was treated very normally in the family, like it, everyone expected, expected you probably not to run around saying, look at me, I'm a medium, you know, I'm special. It's like, you know, when your sister is one and your mother is one and, you know, your grandmother is one and, you know, it's like you just, we all have our gifts. So, you know, you do this a little differently and I read this differently. Big deal, you know, but what it did do for me was it exposed me to the fact that the universe is much more mystical and wonderful and filled with things that I don't understand. And yeah, the occasional terrifying things out there that I've run into, but I know how to handle it. And I've been down these roads and seen some really amazing stuff. And I feel fortunate for that. All of the members of my family who are mediums feel the same.
And how wonderful for you to share all of that with all of us. And you sound like a very balanced fellow who has a very eloquent way of expressing it without making it sound like a hocus pocus, without making it a kind of a scary, but if anything, more of a part of an understanding that you have come to acquire. And I guess it has to be giving credit to your parents and to your family because they have taught you how to embrace it and how to be accepted with it and explain it and be okay with it without having any type of guilt over it or having to hide it or having to feel any sense of its inappropriateness, but instead, how can I make it function and how can I put it to the service of others?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was the strangest way to grow up. You know, I had a father, and my father remains a skeptic to this day. He does not believe any of this is real, but one day I'll be able to talk a little more about some of his stuff, but I'll just say this. He one time he gave me I was talking about this, and we were arguing, and he was telling me that it's all BS, and he knows for a fact it's not because he's seen my mother do things that blew his mind and directly saved his life on a number of occasions. But What struck me was one time he said something that really got to me. I said, come on, you know there's scientific studies that prove, you know, ESP is real. And, yeah, and
yes.
other factors exist that indicate there are other intelligences in existence and that these things have been going on a long time. And he looked at me, he says, yeah, I know about some of the programs, you know, and I was part of them. And then he kind of went quiet, you know, and I was like, oh, really? And he said, he just says there's really expensive gear that indicates yes that you know an equipment that does this and this and this and he says but what you're doing is wrong And so I mean, he just dismissed all my life experience in one thing, and then he confirms on the other side that there's definitely indications that, you know, governments and institutional knowledge and education, you know, I can't even say the word, educational institutions, you'll all know that this is all real. There is something going on here. They just don't prefer to share it with we little small people. And I just laughed. I had to look at him and laugh. And I said, so basically you just shot yourself in the foot. And he got real quiet. And I just had to laugh.
Well, yeah.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, what I got from the scientific side is to question what I'm seeing. You know, because there are spiritual systems and people representing themselves as,
right,
you know, as one thing. And it turns out to be quite another, usually tied to money and power and personal, you know, ego. And that's not what this is about. So, you know, I'm gifted from that side of it because, you know, and I thank myself, you know, my parents and everyone for that was in my life that gave me those gifts to appreciate, you know, from that scientific view, because I'm just skeptical enough to say, you know, this person doing this sort of work, I don't know if I agree quite with what they're doing, you know, because you can see where they're coming from. But then there's the others, you know, on the other side, the touchy-feely side, who really are living their truth, you know. And you'll notice I think the thing that I like about mediums who are really genuine, they tend to be a little bit reluctant to jump into the limelight. They tend to be a little bit less willing to put themselves out there, and they have to kind of be kicked into it. And that's what happened with me. I mean, I didn't do this because I really felt the need to do this on air. I started doing this on air my first shows were for paranormal reasons, because I really enjoyed the paranormal and I was hunting ghosts, and this all evolved from that. So and that's the thing I like is, I mean, you see these genuine mediums, and there's a bunch of them out there, even some of the big name ones. John Edward, for example, I really like his style. I like where he comes from, and he constantly warns in his books about developing ego. And he says he battles that monster all the time, and I really respect him for that. You know, I look at what he has to say, and Char Margolis and some of the others who really live and walk their talk. You know, and that's my view. They could fall off the edge. They could get crazy, but what I see in the books and the way they behave, I think that they're ethical. You know,
has there been any studies that validate the type of functioning of the brain of individuals who have the sixth sense, as per se?
Absolutely. I mean, there's countless indications and observational evidence to support the notion of extrasensory perception. It seems to be an evolutionary response to, that was developed in human beings for survival purposes. And what I'm talking about is, for example, you've heard of precognition, correct? I mean, seeing events before they transpire?
Correct.
Okay, that seems to be that there's individuals who have mutated, you know, genetic mutations, of which I seem to be one of these, and numbers of a number of my family, and of course I'm Celtic, and from a Scottish, half Scottish, and the other half is Viking Portuguese, you know, go figure. And so those people seem to have a genetic component that predisposes them to these things, this ability. These people tend to see things, that happen in the future shortly before, maybe in a matter of months or a matter of hours or minutes even. And, have you ever had the experience? I mean, I'll throw this to quite a bit of the audience. You ever had the experience where you're sitting there and the phone is about to, you know, is just sitting there and you sense the phone is about to ring and it does, and it's that person at the other end that you were thinking about? But you get that kind of a feeling?
I wouldn't say with the phone that it has happened. It has happened to me in other aspects, and that's precisely what really triggered me to start getting into it. I have had dreams that are a little bit hard for me to explain and put them together of how two particular ones that I can come up with. But I have always attributed to a more of a reasoning that takes place once the rest of my mind goes quiet. Another one where I actually drove through a street that I normally don't drive, and I just have to pull over and go in. And as I went in, there was somebody who was in danger. Somebody explained it to me that because I did sense it, by the way, by my stomach, I just sensed this urge of having to go to a certain place, and I didn't question it. I just went with it. So that has been the only things that are, quote unquote, that are out of the ordinary or logical aspect of my side that I have experienced. And that's why I precisely began to be curious, because I wonder if I could do this at will, it would be magnificent.
Well, I really believe all human beings are gifted with these things. It's just some have a genetic predisposition, and I've used this model before on air, but I'll say it again, is, you know, some of us are really meant to play tennis really well, you know, and we pick up a tennis racket and we're like friggin', you know, maestros with the racket. We can just, everything comes naturally. We barely have to have any training. Others, you know, are more challenged, but if you go get lessons and you learn, you know, you take lessons from a teacher, I'd wager 99% of you out there would become pretty decent tennis players. So it's just a matter of picking up these skills and working with them and developing the skill set. I fully believe if you went through psychic and mediumship training, you would find yourself having these skills suddenly awaken within you, because we're all based off the same basic pattern.
Material, yes.
Yeah, and so it's just a matter of, for some reason, my energy pattern, the way with the genetic components I'm built with, predisposes me to do this a little easier. But it doesn't mean that you can't do it too. And this is where I disagree with Joan Edward on one point. He talks about how some of the more famous mediums are all saying mediums are born, they're not made, and it's like, that is, I don't agree with that at all. I believe that everyone has this gift if you choose to develop it. And if you approach spirit in a correct way and ask for it and are humble before God, you will get these things given to you if you really work at it. So it's just, that's a little point in difference I have. But, we're all spirits. And we all connect to these bodies, and we come in for certain purposes, but we're born with free will. And it's how we choose to use free will to help other people.
If that is the case, and talking about linear and so on, are you familiar with the concept of the Akashic Records?
The Akashic Records is, yes, I'm very familiar with that. And Kay, I do see you out there. Akashic Records are basically the storehouse of all knowledge from all existence.
And that
it's seems to be like a subspace kind of place where, It's basically God's private attic of memories.
And is that some form of a Calvinist experience? I mean, to actually say that there is a predestination effect taking place that is always already been set there, for which you have no choice in the matter, but it actually already a preset. I kind of struggle with that, but then again, I have to admit that at least personally, in my belief, I think there is a 70-30%. There is a 30% set of predestination that is already going to take place one way or another, but there is another 70% that takes variable, choices. I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, how did the spiritual communicate with you on that? I mean, were they supposed to be one?
I've never had them tell me directly, you know, anything that way. But what I will say is this: I fully believe that that there's a how do we put this? I believe free will trumps predestination. It's just,
wow.
You know, I've seen too much to indicate that when you become aware of the fact that let's say you're an alcoholic, and you decide that. You wake up, you know, and you've got the choice before you. You can keep drinking and get cirrhosis of the liver and die a horrible death. And then you go back up and you get to do this all over again. Or behind door number two, bing, 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 bing. You know, you can go to, 12 steps, and you can change your life, and you can become an example for all of mankind. And you can do good works, and you change all that. You change your predestiny, because predestiny is only a template. It's a timeline that you can go down. You have the choice to change that.
So don't you think that,
yeah.
And if you take it to a higher level, what if you were supposed to go tin, 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 and choose number two? That's what I was trying to say.
In my estimate of it is that, again, God is free will. You know,
okay.
God is love.
That's
and free
fair.
Will.
It's, That's fair it, to say.
You're given the opportunity to make those choices. You know, when you look at the infinitude of things that go on in this universe, and all the others, It just seems to me that it's just another, it's basically choice. You know, we do computer models that allow the computer, the programs to actually engage in free choice. And these models will actually do things that is that are just amazing. I mean, they will do things like I talked about the emergent behavior.
Right.
When that happens, you end up with these you end up with these things happening that just are very striking. You know, that indicate that the free will concept is truly universal. That really, you know, you're not going to, you know, yeah, we're all going to die. We're predestined on that pattern. I got you there. Yeah, you know, I hear you. We're all going to cork, you know, but, you know, we're going to go back and we can look back at what we've done and say, oh, yeah, I grew from that. And in doing so, we enriched God and the rest of creation despite being our true authentic selves, you know. But to say that I'm predestined on at 12 o'clock, I'm going to end up in this car accident and there's going to be this thing, you know, and you know, I mean, that's going to happen, maybe. But maybe it won't. Maybe if I get a psychic sense, which I have had happen, which has saved my life, where I look and go, I keep getting this indication of a car accident in my head. Maybe I'll put my safety belt on and drive a little slower today and really be observant. And believe me, more often than not, I've been glad I did. You know, so yeah, you're given warnings by spirit. You're given warnings for your own benefit if you were willing to listen.
Yes.
And I think that's when you can affect predestiny. And the only thing that really that supports some of what you're talking about with the predestiny is that there are checkpoints at which we can cross out. You know, let's say at certain ages, if we choose that we want to go and we're done with our lessons here, you know, we've got a kind of stop point. You know, I've had heart trouble. You know, I've had, you know, a shingles attack that nearly took my eyesight and could have done me in. I've had all kinds of stuff. But I still stay, you know, and I've kind of made the choice. I'm not going. I got too much to do. So I'm staying. And, you know, and we all have those private things that we go through, those that we've had the opportunity to leave, but we stay.
I am fascinated by everything that you're sharing. I want you to know that. And I want to apologize to anybody because of me didn't get to come through. But I find everything that you're sharing is extremely fascinating. And I think you have a lot to share. And, wow, I mean, I would love to do this again, to be honest with you, because I have a million of questions.
Well, I would love to have you dial in again. Yeah. It's, you know, you really are, you know, you're really a gifted interviewer. Did you know that?
No, but thank you for saying it. But I'll take that into consideration, I guess, next time that we get to talk, because I really love that. I mean, but think about it. I mean, you do have a gift. You do have the knowledge. You do have the experience. I mean, the very least I feel that you owe to your audience is to share that with all of it, how it functions, how it works, look how it is, you know, invite them into your little world and to see it through your eyes.
Well, it's just, to me, it's just amazing how all of this works, and you know, and I've never taken it for granted, and I still find it. When I get up in the morning and I look at the things that happen and all the good and bad, you know, that goes on in life, and yeah, you could feel sorry for yourself. You know, you could get up in the morning and look and go, oh God, you know, what's still going on? But you know, I'm still excited. I get up excited that wow, what do I get to learn today? What's going to happen? Yeah, you know, some parts of my day really suck. Other times, though, it's like, you know, you look at you decide, well, I'm going to forget that. Let's see what else I can do that's more interesting. And you drop that and you go on and you go, whoa, no, there was a lesson there. What did I pick up from that? And the end of the day, I meditate. And then I you know, they tell me some stuff in my meditations. And I'm just going, wow, I never considered that before.
I actually, you know? I always say that sometimes being too happy is overrated, because sometimes it's just okay to not be too happy, you know, because it's okay, because that is the experience. That is the moment. Leave it, embrace it, let it go, and move on. And what's next? I mean, maybe next is anxiety. Maybe the next one is depression. Maybe the next one is happiness. Maybe the next one is ecstasy. You know, whatever it is, just go with it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Well, no, I mean, I think you're hitting it right on the head. I think that human beings, you know, if we approach these things in the right way, we get these lessons, and if we approach it correctly, we learn it once and move on to the next one. And if you really struggle to stay in balance with that, it's a lot easier for you. The ones that don't learn keep going through the merry-go-round over and over again, and it's like,
indeed.
Okay, That's you know, it's like the alcoholism and the substance abusers and all that. You know, there's a ton of them out there, and they really are living lives of desperation because they won't let go of a particular thing, and the lessons come back harder and harder until they're finally broken. They die, and they got to go back, and they get chided, and then they get sent right back down to do it again. And, you know, that sucks. You know, but you know, am I saying that I'm better? I mean, I've got flaws at the yin yang, you know, excluding picking up calls. I'm sorry.
Hey, that makes me a perfect human being.
Well, you know, perfection.
Imperfection
is
part of being perfect. I mean, because it is part of being a human being. You cannot be perfect if you're human. I mean, it's just a contradiction in itself. So, no, by any means, if anything, that just reaffirms your human experience.
Well, the idea of perfection is an ego judgment.
Correct.
And that's my, you know, to me the whole notion that human beings choose quote perfection is a very stilted view of things. So, you know, we necessarily have to use perfection in measurement. You know, we have sciences based on it, but none of our sciences is truly you know, correct. It's only approaching a truth. And that's another thing that science does that I find interesting. You know, they model things based on these what they believe to be truths, and it turns out it's approximations that are all based on egos, and that's the whole foundation of society. Believe it or not, I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, reality is, you know, all fixed and rules are, you know, because people have shown, you know, and there's studies to indicate, and we have systems of thought and belief, and it's all based on a bunch of artificial, you know, things that are nowhere related to what God's intention was. So I find the whole thing humorous. It's funny what we do. I mean, it really is. I laugh.
Yes. I mean, and I do want to thank you very much for answering so many of my questions, and I'm sure some of the people that were listening to it have enjoyed some. I'm not so sure. I hope they did, and my apologies
actually,
to anybody.
Yeah, I've got one other call out there that
I had
another lady that was waiting, and I feel bad she dropped off. So
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it, because I'll tell you what, it's my show, and by gosh, you know, you really are a gifted interviewer. I would strongly urge you to get your own show. Really.
I will keep that in consideration, because there is so much for you to share. I mean, I have still gazillions of questions. I mean, I wonder right now when you were talking about, we were talking about the human experience. So somebody dies, and it's just like somebody who has, you know, meetings and has sessions and has, you know, the kids and has the ballet classes and it has a test. And I mean, how do they deal with chopping all that all of a sudden and letting it go? What if they don't want to? What they cannot let it go to? Are those the ones that they're lingering around, or they just have to surrender and say, oops, I'm gone, you know, forget about my meetings, forget about my son? I mean, I know about a case of somebody who got a car accident, and there was a newborn with her in the car, and the newborn survived for 3 days just breastfeeding on the dead mother. I mean, it was very tragic, but that, I will imagine, I mean, that mother, I'm sure she didn't want to go.
No, I tend to think that a lot of them are surprised, and we run into that repeatedly in paranormal investigation. We find spirits who were you know, their spiritual side survived, and they get to the other side, and I mean spiritual side, their human side, excuse me, that they were confused at the point of death, and they become unaware of their circumstance, or they are aware, but they're so traumatized that they can't move on, and these things do happen. And this is what we classify as hauntings, and it's just terrible, you know. But I do believe that these people can be helped. And that's what there are people who are really good at paranormal investigation and spirit rescues, and that's one of the courses of training I'm in right now in my current mediumship class that I'm taking. It's a wonderful thing. And when you see people that are very good at it, you know, my hat's off to them, because they're truly doing the work of God when they're helping these spirits who are confused, literally confused, or trapped because of their own belief system, and they need someone to come unlock them and get them out of this. And it's a great act of compassion. You know, I really believe that.
Do you participate? I mean, did you deliberately try to help some of these people when they come to you in as a spiritual form, to, because they have a tremendous quest that they need assistance with?
Yeah, I've conducted a number of, and by the way, I'm going to extend the show for readings, cause, so we'll go, you and I,
yes.
If you want to stay until 9:30, we can keep talking, and after 9:30, we'll open up for readings, so I will do that. I apologize, everyone.
Yes,
but you know what, I'm really enjoying this, so we're going to do it this way, because the guy that I did this show for the EVP readings didn't show up, so you know it's kind of an open shot here. I'm just going in and making the change here.
Somebody told that it was serendipity too, because they brought it up, and the truth is I just called in because I wanted a reading, but then you went off and the whole subject just took on itself, and frankly, you are fascinating. I mean, you have so much to share, and like I said, many of the questions, if I'm curious about it, I'm sure many other people are curious about it, and they just don't get the opportunity to ask, so thank you for honoring me. I believe I'm speaking on behalf of many people that are even on the chat who have been very encouraging because of all these questions. I mean, they are lingering in the people of the average mind to wonder, how does it work? I mean, how do you live with the spirits? How do you communicate with them? How do they show up? How do you handle it? Are you in control of them? I mean, it is a fascinating subject. And
well,
you're a fascinating fellow.
I'll tell you what, I put my pants on, and I often walk around rather confused looking, and you ought to see my hair in the morning. It's rather disturbing, but it's really, I'll tell you, I've studied this a long time, and I really hope that I'm doing the right things, and I really work hard at it. And there are a lot of people out there, the guys at Coast to Coast, for example, George Norrie and Art Bell and all those.
Art Bell, yes.
Those are my heroes. You know, I really wanted to do this like they would. You know, and the mediums too. You know, the famous mediums that are all out there. You know, I mean, they just inspire me, and so I've kind of had to figure my own way, and I've got my own unique style. But it's a weird life, but by God, I'm living it as authentically as I can.
And just I wanted to confirm something. You mentioned to me a couple of times about my entry on the skills. I actually had the opportunity to talk to Whitley Strieber, with Art Bell, actually, at some point. And we did have a two-hour conversation because I had so many questions to ask him. I don't know if you're familiar with Whitley Strieber.
UFOs
then,
and Abduction, yes. All that, yeah.
And he has so much to share. And like I said, questions that, you know, even though his books are out there and so many interviews, but there's still many other lingering questions that you do want to ask. And I asked him. And he was so humble. I mean, it was humbling for me, the experience, because he honored me answering each one of them so vividly. And, you know, after that, you know, he sent me a letter. And actually, I get to meet him one time that he came to California, which is what I am. And it was a wonderful experience. So it's just pure curiosity. I want you to know that I had no agenda when I called you in. But it's pure curiosity. And like I said, I feel that I'm just giving a voice to raise up the questions that many of us have.
Yeah, I was brought up in a scientific household and told, go explore and ask questions and to hell with what people think. You know, you've got to judge for yourself what really happens. And so it was the worst crime you could do was go along with the program in our house, was to go along with the program because everyone else was. You know,
right.
You got your ass kicked for that. I mean, my dad would pull me in and my mother would go, we taught you better than that. You have to think for yourself, buddy. You know, and don't believe everything. You go probe and check it, and then you decide what, you know, come back and tell us what you learned from it. And that was the whole basis of all this. You know, it really was the meaning of what it is to do what I do, and I really thank my parents for that, because that it's their core values that came together, and I forever am questioning, and that should be how it is, and I will say this for those teaching in our schools, and for those parents out there, if you're not doing that with your students and your children,
yes.
And encouraging them to be questioning and to come to conclusions that you may not agree with, because their life experience shows them the truths that they may they come to on their own. Then I think you're doing a disservice, And I mean, this whole notion in for example, schools to push people to become all the same. What a bunch of bull! You know what? I mean, you can't, it's one thing to embrace teams and, teams, everything's a team and everyone has to conform. Get off that. You know, the reality is that, you know, value people, value individual experience. Yes, we all have to live together. Yes, we have to have a few social rules to work together. But by gosh, you know,
learn to color outside the lines.
What's that?
Learn to color outside the lines. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, learn to look beyond what the truth is, and the schools should be teaching how to think. You know, the proper process for thinking, not for being a conformist. And you know, for example, schools do not teach like they used to. They used to teach, you know, in home economics, which men even had to take, was budgets, how to live, you know, without credit, you know, how to get by in life and all the skills that you had to have to succeed in the world on the outside. They don't teach success. They teach conformity. And this is where I somehow got through that experience because I was a horrible student. I hated every minute of it. I did not conform. I was hated for it by the teachers, and I was hated for it by, you know, those who wanted me to be in the, you know, the in crowds, you know, and I was a rebel from the beginning. And you know what? I'm glad I did. I didn't mind the fact I went through some really rough times because that made me who I am today.
Yes,
and, but I really think that it would be great to have everybody be a rebel.
I'm not so sure I will agree with you on that one. I mean, I think there has to be a balance. No, there has to be a balance. You have to learn the discipline, and you have to learn some form of you know, learning that there are lines. You know, just developing judgment. When do you have to color outside the lines, and when you color inside the lines, and when is in your advantage, and when's the advantage of everybody?
Oh,
so you
I mean, I agree with you there. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we're both saying the same thing in a slightly different way. What I'm meaning is have the guts to go explore and come to the conclusions on your own. Yes, there are certain parameters that we have to live within, you know, to get along. But, you know, don't walk in and tell somebody you have to believe this way because this is the way our family always has believed. Or this is how it is in history because we say it is this way. Well, you know, what if you went and did research that indicated that, you know, it wasn't that way? You know, I mean, like the War of 1812, you know, I mean, there, you know, it was taught from one viewpoint for a long time, and then it turned out there were a whole set of other things about that war that, you know, that were very unpopular at the time to talk about, but it was the truth, you know? Oh, my
yes.
God, the truth. Well, what a concept. I mean, that's the whole basis of all of this. I mean, I would prefer to see people being authentic and not going with the party line, you know, and, you know, yeah, maybe the party line is correct. Maybe it is. There are those times when it is. But more often than not, it's an artificial construct based on ego.
And it is such people who are different that, you know, the creativity comes to them, and that's why they're successful sometimes, because they do go outside and they provide something unique and something that is that shows an alternative. I mean, that shows outside of the box. I mean, the major creations have been done either by accident or by people who were nonconformist to the rules. So, no, there is a great gift indeed. But like I said, developing wisdom on when you're supposed to do it, why you're supposed to do it, that requires time, and that requires some form of an insight and perhaps even maturity.
Well, I'll tell you what, I fully believe, based on the just my observations of how the internet has evolved, and I was in there in the beginning in my own company doing, you know, the pilot work on a lot of programs, and now I'm being treated, you know, just as I've aged. I've gotten to a point where I'm watching all these kids come in, and they think I'm really dumb, which I kind of think is great. It's like, okay, you've learned a lot. You know, you don't know how things really worked back then, but okay, you know, I'll cut you some slack, and you show me what you've learned. And they are building a whole new structure, and human beings are communicating across boundaries as they've never done before. And
correct.
It's a new feedback system. And what I believe will happen is truth will trump all the political BS. Truth will trump all that. And what will happen is we're on a hyper course to evolving even faster. And I think that we will these children that. See, I mean, there's a lot of institutionalized groups that think if we can just control their minds, we'll be able to make them do what we want and say and all that. and it's like, and you see all what they call, you know, the violet, you know, these children who are extremely psychic, extremely gifted, who are able to see right to the heart of things. They understand what they're being told. And that's the hope for the future, is to see these children who are so perceptive and can sense the BS And they hold the future in their hands. And
yes,
I really believe that this is the future. This is where we are going, is a world that's going to be more compassionate, more dedicated to truth, more open to, yeah. And I think that's the future of the race. And then we'll join something that's going to be bigger than ourselves.
And don't you think that there is another group out there, and I'm talking about, you know, third world countries, for example, where they're so far behind of all of this, when the internet is not even it's a luxury, and it's something that you may experience only when you go visit someone in a major city, in an urban area. But there is this still other existence that when you come in touch and you come aware of it, you realize that this balance of it, and you realize that there is a whole other point, and it's like, how do you bring up more of a balance? Because you talk about Silicon Valley, for example. You talk about Boston, you know, MITs. You talk about, you know, Texas. I mean, where you have urbans, you know, growing and just massively moving at the speed light when it comes to advance. But then you have this other group behind that is just left there and is just untainted and is just beautiful because it hasn't been damaged. But a whole other reality and challenges are taking place there. So,
yeah.
Well,
the universe is a big, complex place, and it's definitely non-democratic in terms of its distribution of wealth, you know, internet connection, and money, and obviously intelligence. And witness Washington D.C., where there's just an amazing lack of intelligence. That's my view of it. But I mean, you know, it's the whole point of differences, you know. Some parts of the world are going to always be internet free, and maybe that's what they want. You know, and that's their choice.
You think it's a choice, or you think it's the way it is?
I think that the God's purpose for the way creation is arranged is according to what God wishes it to be. And I think that when you have, for example, Venezuela, a free democratic society in Venezuela is suddenly taken over by a strong man, you know, who is anything but nice, and basically just corrupts the entire country and destroys the fabric of the whole country, and you know, brutalizes, you know, the citizenry and does all these different things and takes them backwards, and then wars on all the other countries around him. This is a part of a lesson. This is part of a thing that's meant to go on. And what I get out of it is that there's just this. It looks like they're having some sound troubles. Okay, everybody, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. You're recycling, good. But I just really believe that the whole experience of reality,
is,
you know, on
choice?
This planet, is God has an awful lot to say about it. And I think that, you know, humanity evolves in fits and starts in different places, and it's not an even distribution, and it never will be.
No.
You know, power, yeah. If power flows from one place to another, you know, so, you know, you witness the demise of the Roman Empire, for example. You know, the most powerful society of, you know, ancient times, you know, rose to a great pinnacle, then through its own weakness, because it spent all of its wealth beating back all the tribes that were trying to kill it, ended up splitting into the Eastern and Western empires. The Western Empire collapsed into ruin and, you know, inspired the Dark Ages, and the Eastern Empire survived, but much more withered, and it changed everything. And here we are. You look at our super civilization we're at today. We're going through these things. So, you know, it's a natural ebb and flow of order, disorder, and all these things that we're going through are amazing. To me, it's a privilege to be here at this time. I get to see a lot of amazing things. I've lived through watching people I've actually met walk on the moon. You know, I've lived that. I've watched my father work in that business of building propulsion systems and doing, you know, watching our civilization rise to this peak, and now we're in this decline. It's an amazing decline, but there's also opportunity in it, you know. And when you see that, and you don't run around demising, oh my God, the end of civilization, oh God, what are we going to do? You know, if you pick it up and you take that and say, what are we going to do with this? Where are we going to put the energy? What are we going to do to make things better?
Right. Well, I think you definitely have done a great job, I mean, answering and humoring me, and thank you, because it's humbling for you to be sharing so much with me and obviously with everybody who's been enjoying your sharing. But I think I'm going to let you go so everybody can have you. And I would love to have you again.
Well, I'll tell you what. Call in next Sunday. I'll tell you what. We'll dedicate another half hour to an hour. I would definitely
Absolutely.
Love to have you on.
And you know what?
Okay.
I would love for you to, I mean, really, and I'd be more than happy to pick a subject that is of your interest, that is of your expertise, and I will dwell into it. So we really go and tackle the questions that really should be
right,
when it comes to that.
I'll humor you. Well, let's do that. I'll think up something, and the next Sunday you call in, okay? And
yeah,
we'll do that.
I promise I will.
And we'll go for it. Okay.
I had a wonderful time.
I did too. I really appreciate you calling. You've got a great intellect, and you ask very penetrating questions. So we'll have you back.
Thank you. Well, good evening,
right.
And thank you, everyone.
Okay. See you later. Bye now.
Bye.
She is an interesting lady, very well spoken. I'll tell you what. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to. I've got a very parched throat. So we're going to, we got a half hour left, and I'm going to take a few minutes and play some music, and then we'll be right back. Let me see what I've got in the hopper here. Let's play a little Bumper Arizona. We're going to be back in 3 minutes, 21 seconds, and then we'll go into the caller that I see, 239 out there. We see you, and we'll bring you on, and then maybe we can get one more reading in after that. So here we go. We'll be right back. This is Soulstream on Block Talk Radio.
On location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty. period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
Okay, and oh, I see Winter about a reading. Tell you what, you've got Facebook out there. If I see you pop in with a friendship on Facebook, I'll go ahead and we can talk about a private reading. Sure, I'm up for that. So I saw that there. To everyone else who was so patient, thank you. I ran the show a little extra here to get some readings in, and I believe with Kelly, she was waiting and then she dropped out. She was a Skype caller, and I will admit, when I see Skype calls, I'm a little on guard for trolls because they do tend to pop in, so I was really a little worried about that. And then we got going on this conversation, which turned out to be basically the show. It turned into the whole show. So I extended a bit, and so we're going to go ahead and run readings here and continue on. So I've got the 239 caller, and I see you out there. Going to bring you in. And I will say, wow, what a group we've had tonight. Kathy Siston Echoes, Curious Listener 1414, Yvonne Hart, Frank is here. All three guests. So we had Holistic Life Designs, Gina there, Jeannie Marie out there in Georgia. We got Mountain Diva, Mrs. Dog Rescuer. My gosh, you rescue dogs. Yeah. Let's see, Winter 71 and Yachtman. So here we go. 239. I'm going to bring you on. Hello. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello. This is Mountain Diva. I'm from Indiana.
Okay. Hi, Mountain Diva from Indiana. How are you doing?
Fine. Listening to your interview. You're a good man.
Oh, gosh. I'm all turned old right now. Anyway, you know what? I'm just walking my talk, I hope. And when I don't, God kicks my ass. So, you know, I get called out on a regular basis, kind of, you're not doing so good. So when I'm doing it right, I appreciate that, you guys. And I take it to heart. So thank you. So, anyway, I know I'm all embarrassed. Hope I do.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
it's been an interesting, weird life, and it's been a very weird day. You know, I slept until 9, and it was all hot when I got up. I totally intended to get up too early so I could get some stuff done, and instead I walked out to the inferno out there. So, oh, well.
The inferno of California. Well,
oh
you
God,
said you're going to have EVP, so is there someone from the other side talking on your EVP for me tonight or someone talking for you? It doesn't matter who.
Well, I'll tell you what. The way it works is I am all set up for this. And the way it works is what you do is you pick a person that you would like to talk to. And what we do is then we generally go with a couple of questions. And we'll record about a one-minute burst, and then I run an analysis on that on air. So if you have a couple of questions for someone who's passed, we can have you personally get to ask them, and then we go ahead and run the analysis. Now, I switch mics because I got to move over about 4 feet over to the other station where I have this. And so if you want to do that and you've got a name of someone, I am willing to do that.
Really? You think they'll just pop in and talk on your box? Okay, I know someone who knows how to talk on the other box, but usually it's because he's following somebody's spirit guide. So how do they get to your box? Who's your spirit guide?
Basically, it's not so much spirit guide. It's I have a pretty good arrangement with the other side, and when we do the work, they come through. I use an FM radio at a carrier frequency of about 103 megahertz. And
right.
the other side seems to use that, and there's a control group that I work with on the other side who, when I'm doing these shows, they come through and they're really pretty good about it, and it's pretty well known that we're going to do this stuff ahead of time, and they've got it all pretty well worked out.
All right.
And so it's sort of they got their own weird ways over there. I don't pretend to know everything how they do this. I just take it on faith that it's going to work. And we've only had one time where I really had it just, you know, bomb out on me, and it was technical issues more than anything. I was having trouble. So, you know, it really is an interesting thing, and I never know what's going to happen. You know, I'm not, and I won't even guarantee that the person you ask to come through will. But what I do know is this.
But maybe somebody will.
Yeah. So it's just, but if you have a particular person in mind, go ahead. You know, we'll do it. So,
well, sure.
You want this one? All right.
See if Jeff McKinley wants to come through and talk to your spirit box.
Okay, I'm going to run a quick test. As a matter of fact, I mean, I see you out there, Frank, and you weren't in earlier, and I know it was for you, and you came in later, so I'll tell you what. I am going to do a favor for you. I'll do this. We'll do it again tomorrow. I'm going to do another EVP show tomorrow, and so I will set up for about 8 o'clock, and we'll do another show, and I hope you could get in on the 4th of July so we can do this. But I'm going to run a quick check here on the board with the FM. Yep, looks like we got a signal.
Wow.
Okay, so that's got a nice set of static. That's what they use. They tend to use the static and modulate static.
Yeah.
So I'm going to check a couple of things here. I want to try to get it to 103. I tend to get better results when I get closer to 100 megahertz. I'm going to go back a little bit. I think tonight, it just depends on the night.
Brendan.
Well, I can't understand what
okay,
you're
that works.
You can.
That works. I'm going to go with this. They're just going to have to adapt to what I've done here. So I'm going to switch mics. So I'm going to go ahead and move over. Give me a second here.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm on the second mic here. All right. So, and I can hear my voice coming through on someone else's. Okay, 88.7. All right, we're going to go with 88.7. So here's what we do. We do a five count. And basically, I'm going to, when I do the five count, I'm still getting voices. I think it is the radio. Hang on a sec. I'm going to try to find a very clear frequency. What I don't want is for it to come in with voices. Are you still with me?
Yes!
Okay.
I'm patient.
Come on. All right, that seems to work. All right, 100.3. Yeah, but what we're going to do is five count. Have you ask your first question, keep it short and to the point, and for the person, you name the person at the beginning. Then when I say next, after some silence, and you have to stay really silent, then we'll go to the next question, and then I'll go as long as I feel that the answer needs to be done, and then we'll stop, and then we'll run the analysis. So, okay, you all set?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, I was looking to see if Jeff McKinley could come through the spirit box and answer a few questions, or if he would like to say something to his daughter.
Okay, next.
Did he say something? Do you have a message for Diana?
Okay, I'm going to stop it there because we're low on time. So what I'm going to do is, all right, so what we're going to do is run the signal analysis here. Mm-hmm. And I'm using Audacity, which is a freely available program. And I'm going to take this, and I'm a little concerned. I had some strange readings there, so I'm just going to see. Hopefully we got something there. As part of the voices.
The voices?
Right. Yeah, we tend to get different voices come through. It's interesting how this works. The spirit voices modulate off the static, the white noise. And so we run, what we do is we do the bass recording, and those signals are embedded within the recording. And what we do is we run a series of mathematical filters on these. And what they do is it seems that the other side has this ability to manifest voices based on what we do. So I'm going to try my best to make this come through. I think I've got a little problem here, but I will make it work. I haven't done this in a while. And so you're my first, you're my victim. You know, I'm doing experiments on you, yes. So what we're going to do is run some noise reductions. And I'm running another set of filters. And there's a process that I've learned over time does work. And then I try to interpret what the heck's being said. And more often than not, we tend to come up with some pretty accurate stuff. So it's kind of like mediumship with physical proof behind it. And I'm running I ran a good noise removal there. That looks good. Let me run the next one. And I'm not sure, the problem I have is I'm not sure that your voice came through on the recording, but that still isn't going to be a problem, because if it did work out that way, we know what you asked. And who was it you were asking for, by the way? I mean, what was the name of the person or persons?
Jeff McKinley. He has spoken other spirit boxes, so I figured he could speak to yours too.
Funny you would say that. I have the name McKinley is one of my one of the Scottish families in my ancestry, so we could be related.
Yes, he's definitely Scottish. I'm Scotch Irish.
Oh yeah.
I'm McClintock. Oh, sorry.
Ah.
I didn't say that on the air.
Oh, so you're related to the politicians. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know the politicians. So you're related to him. Okay.
I usually don't tell people my last name. You tricked me.
I tricked you. God, I'm a bad guy.
Got my name.
McClintock
and McKinley. We were hot.
Oh, I come from the clan McGregor. I'm actually a descendant of Rob Roy McGregor. People actually think I'm kidding when I say that, but I mean, it's direct. I mean, Rob Roy was my ancestor. I mean, I kind of explained a few things, I think. Let's see. Let's run compression on this. Bring it up a little. I think we're getting pretty close here, and then I'll, this is looking nice. We definitely got something. Basically, what I'm doing is I just run these filters repeatedly, and you're washing the excess noise out until you get the voice patterns that have been left. And it's amazing what you pick up. I get really surprised with it. So I think we're good on the first question. Then the second one, I'm going to do the same process. I'm almost there. I just have to run a compression set, do that, because I can see the modulations. And that looks really nice. I'm going to run one last noise removal and get the noise profile, and then we just run this. And by the way, I've said this before, I'm not the only one doing this. There's a lot of other hosts out there that are doing this now, and they followed. I sort of pioneered some of this, but I don't claim to be the first. But by gosh, it's really great to see other guys doing this, and I think the more the merrier. So. And if someone wants to know how I'm doing it, give me a yell. I'll show you how I'm doing it, and then you can do it for yourself. So here we go. I'm going to go I'm going to call it out in two-second analysis patterns from 0.5 to 2.5 seconds. Here we go. First set from your question. Here we go. I don't, with a short timeline, I'm not going to spend too much time on one thing. But it's a male, for sure. That sounds like a male to me. At the very end, I'm losing what it's saying, but it's. I think he's saying it's this thing, and I think he's saying, is this thing working? And I'm getting the feeling he's like, never done it quite this way before. So here we go, 2.5 to 5.0 seconds. I think he seems like he's really interested in the topic. Here we go, 2.5 to 5.0 seconds. Here we go.
He likes to talk on the spirit box. In fact, he probably is who told me you were on tonight, because he talks on the other spirit box.
Yeah, well, he seems to be an effective communicator. He's really high-pitched in the second one. I may have to skip some of these to see what I get.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to listen to it with all that squeaking.
Yeah, you develop an ear for it. But I think, let me see what we get here. It's somebody speaking, but I can't understand it. So I'm going to move on.
Aww. Okay. Well, maybe next time somebody's got a box, he'll call me. Maybe sometime you'll talk to him.
Actually, what I'm saying is just that section, not the whole thing. And I've got one little problem. I'm going to go ahead and export this, bring it right back in. I just have to
leave it at Hotmail. If you find out anything he says, you can email me.
We got 11 minutes, and I'm going to stick a shot at
it. Oh, sure.
It's probably interesting
to the folks that are listening.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of the reason they dial when they come in. It's like, I just had a little problem with, there we go. I'm going to pull that back in. And
I think I'm going to have to get a box for him because he does like this.
There are spirits who are really good at doing this communication and view Zoom in. And I'm going to do view Zoom in some more. Gosh darn, this thing is really acting up. So I'm going to go out and then come back in. I know what's happening. Every so often, Audacity just weirds out on me, so I'm having one of those days. So let me get it. Here we go. I'm going to fire it back up. I just have to go out, come back in, and then it starts working fine. And every so often it does this. So I'm going to say session. There it is.
So if anybody out there has a spirit box, Yachtman or whatever, you can talk to Jeff McKinley whenever you want because he likes to talk. I think he was taken out of his life, you know. He was murdered, so he really just likes to be with us. He is good talking to spirit boxes.
Well, I'll tell you what. He seems to be quite the talker here. So let me go through, and I'm going to do a speed run as fast as I can. So here we go. 5 to 10 seconds. Here we go. Are you hearing me? I'm getting that. Are you hearing me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you. I can hear you even when you're not on the box.
Yeah, he's, you know, and it's weird. I've never heard them that high pitch, so this is a new one for me. So 10 to 12 and a half. Here we go. Okay, that one I'm not going to be able to pull off, so I'm just going to keep going till we get... This might get better.
He's actually from Jupiter, Florida, so he made it out to your California box.
Yeah, what it is I've got a male voice modulating way down below, so I'm going to focus on this one section.
Okay. He wanted to know if you were picking him up. That's cool.
Yeah, here. I'm really focusing on this. It's a male voice, and I'm getting something that sounds like Judith or something coming on or coming in. So it's not that high-pitched thing. There's a male voice that's right under the bottom of it, and I'm definitely hearing a male. It's really kind of a weird night for this. I mean, I've had technical troubles all night, so it's not surprising this would go crazy. But let's try 15 to 20, and I am hearing a man, and I am absolutely sure that this is him. So here we go. Okay, I'm going to ignore that. Let's keep going. And the next time I'm going to shield this radio a little better. Okay, now that is the clearest I've gotten so far. Same voice, definitely male. Heaven is pleasing. Heaven.
Oh, that he would say something like that.
Yeah, heaven is pleasing, and it's very. That was the most eloquent he's been. Let me run into the next section. We got 9:54. We got 5 minutes. I'm going to run really quick through here. Let me try 25 to 30 seconds, and let me see what we get. Do you know a Sherry? Who's passed? Or a Sherry or a Mary? I'm getting. I'm going to go with Sherry, but
okay.
He's saying
that's
about... he says I'm here with Sherry.
Oh.
I'm here with Sherry. So
he's
yeah,
with
and
Sherry.
It,
okay.
You may want to research who Sherry might be, but it also
yeah.
because of the way this sounds, it's going to be that sort of a name. It's going to be a Sherry, a Mary. It's somebody with that kind of name. It could even be a Harry. But what I'm hearing, I think, is Sherry. So
okay.
Kind of play in
well,
your mind.
Well, I know
anybody,
a Harry.
Would have known. Is he dead? Is he on the other side?
Yes.
Okay. He says, I'm here with, and then you know, fill in the blank. Now, let's keep going. We got 5 minutes left, so I'm
going
to try.
Okay.
This is the fastest
keep
I've
going.
Ever done this. So we're going to go with the next 5 second burst. He's also talking about somebody named Stanley. I'm hearing the name Stanley in there, and I don't know what that's about, but I think that he's talking about multiple. He seems to be socializing. That would be the word I'd have. He's not alone up there in all what he's doing. Let's go with the next set. We're getting closing in on the end of it.
Well, I'm glad he's given his name. It might help out his family. Yeah, he's very social.
He, even though he's glad, I'm hearing the word homesick.
He is homesick?
He's homesick. There's parts of home he does miss. So I definitely heard the word homesick. And they do, some of them, they do long for coming back. So, let's try 35 to about, 37 to about 38 seconds. Here we go. We're almost at the end.
Aww.
He's also mentioning someone named Jack. I'm here with Jack. There's a
okay, I think they'll know,
you
know who that is.
Okay,
okay,
he says I'm here with Jack. So he's more interested in to say, hey, you know, yeah, I'm around, and here's what I'm with, and he's overcome some of the difficulties in the communication, and that high pitch signal is just killing me here, but I am getting some stuff out.
Okay.
Here's the very last set, and then we're going to move into closing the show. So here we go. I don't get it at the end. I just cannot interpret that. So I've got, you know, Jack, Sherry, Larry, you know, Harry, and then heaven, and definitely a very clear to me, heaven is pleasing. But he's also
thank
homesick
you.
In some respects. So
that's
you talk
great.
To him
he really
bit,
does
right?
like to talk, so I gotta get a box. Just gotta
get
me
would,
one.
You know, if I were you, I would. And you know, if you wanna know the technique, actually I'm gonna switch mics here. Hang on just a sec.
Okay,
I'm right back here. I'm back on my normal broadcast mic. Basically, when they do this, this kind of thing, and they're such chatty people, I really, really encourage you to do that. Yes, definitely get a box and learn the techniques, you know, and you will get these kind of results, you know. I'm going to go ahead and close it down, though, my friend. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
If anybody out there wants to talk to him that's got a box, he knows how to talk.
Okay. And
thank
they can get
you.
To you get to you
Steph
here
McKinnon.
On Blog Talk. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Talk with you later. And this is, we're on the last 45 seconds. I'm going to go through real quick. Bobo Nell. Oh, I know Bobo Nell. Hi there. I've hunted with you. Kathy's Distant Echoes. Crazy Ralph. Crazy Ralph. This is Crazy Eddie. Oh, okay. We got the Curious Listener, 1414, Evil in Heart. Frank here is here. Gerber Daisy TM. We have a guest out there from France. Holistic Life Designs. In the Mood Danger. I'm in the mood for danger. Jeannie Marie, Mountain Diva, Mrs. Dog Rescuer, Quinny, Winter 71, and Yacht Man. Good to see you guys. We've got 15 seconds. I will be on tomorrow, 8 o'clock to 8:30, somewhere in there. I'll find the right time, and we will do some more EVP work, and I promise I'll have this technical issue solved. So with that, this is Soulstream signing off for tonight. I'll talk with you guys later, and God bless.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?